I said a theme for today is what's in the bag. Because those who were coming in, I hoped you wouldn't even realize what was in the bag. And you know, it's funny about bags. We all have bags. Somehow life is incomplete without a bag. Large bags, small bags, leather bags, ornamental bags, plain bags. They're every shape, they're every size, they're every color, they're for every kind of purpose. It's somewhere to keep your keys, or your handkerchief, or your mobile phone. Plastic bags, they're threatening the environment, but we need them when we're in the supermarket. And then you got men bags for the laptops and the tablets and the iPods. And you've got bags that are manufactured so that you wheel it along when you're going on the plane. I'll be doing it. And I've got my bag ready because I don't want to wait at the carousel. And so in my bag, with a bag that fits into the overhead locker. It's amazing how many bags there are. And I say this with great respect. When ladies get a new dress, they want a new bag to go with the bags, to go with the dress. Isn't that right? That young lady is going off to a prom when she finishes school in a couple of months' time. And she wants a bag that will match the dress that goes with it. Bags. What's in the bag? What's in the bag? Well, the Bible has all sorts of things to say about what's in the bag. It's got some special bags. I was going to read, but because my time's gone through, I'm not going to take the story. There was a young boy and he had a bag of smooth stones, and David chose five smooth stones out of the brook and he put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had. The NIV says he put them in the pouch of the shepherd's bag. David, a young man full of enthusiasm. His brothers were quite hostile towards him. That was another bit of the story. But there's a Philistine giant man out there challenging Israel to choose a man for yourselves and let us fight together. It was Goliath the giant, the seemingly impregnable, unbeatable champion. And this is one of the most exciting stories in the whole of your Bible. Because there's this young man, a shepherd boy, full of courage and exciting stories about what he's been able to do when he's fought against a lion and a bear and all those other things. And he's come down with the lunches for his brothers. But he's the right man at the right time in the right kind of place. And when he hears this giant of a man called Goliath shouting and bawling and challenging, and he's waiting. He's waiting. And there's not a man from the army of Israel who's taking up the challenge. So he says something about it. When you look at what the giant has got, all David has is a bag and a sling. And the Philistine champion is insulted. Now, you know the story. In the process, the giant is defeated. It's a famous, it's a wonderful victory. And David walked on to the battlefield. Those who were with me on Tuesday, I reminded you how he ran against the problem. We mustn't hide from the problems we have. Let's run towards them and say we can win because of our God. And there's David. And the Philistine is annoyed, is agitated. Now, I know another story. Just hold that one for a minute. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel? They wouldn't bow down. And they're thrown into the furnace because of who they are and what they are. And all of this is that any time, any place, any situation, you can discover that that's a moment when God comes through. when God is right there, when God is wanting to intervene, when God is wanting to be with you, to encourage you and to help you. Now, the stones in the bag are nothing in themselves, but thrown at the giant and backed by the power and the dynamic of God's spirit and power, well, you know the rest of the story. And David shouts and says, this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. He's talking about the lion. He's talking about the bear that he'd killed in just the same way. And why? He's defied the armies of the living God. Now, he carried a mark of the covenant. It was the mark of circumcision. David had a big view, an incredible faith that the covenant God would be his God and would keep him. So you know the story. The stone hits the giant and he falls to the ground, and with his huge sword, David chops off his head. I think about life and its conflicts. There are lots of people who say, well, we know the Lord. And yet whenever some problem, some Goliath, some issue looms, it's too much to handle. And do you know what Goliath's name is? Strip you naked. That's actually a transliteration of Goliath. I'll strip you naked. And there are things that happen. I was talking to you last week about the earthquakes we all experience. Every one of us, not one of you is exempt here this morning. You will have known an earthquake, a situation in your life, just like the dreadful earthquake in Turkey and Syria and other places of the world. And we have issues and we become vulnerable. And in a sense, what life is doing to us is stripping us naked. It's our Goliath. We are stressed. We become upset. We have been going through what the pandemic did to us. It stripped us naked. Took away so many people from us, from our church, through death or whatever. And here we are. Do you know what we've got? We've got a bag of stones. We've got a bag of stones. When those conflicts, when those personal disasters come into your life, when the giant comes, it doesn't matter. When Goliath mocks, he mocked Israel for 40 days, twice a day. And you know life situations do that to you. That's the conflict. What about the conquests? How do you meet your giants? How do you overcome them? Well, it's with stones from the brook. The book, the brook. He took stones from the brook. But I take stones from the book. You see, the promises of God's word. And I put them in my memory bag. And when the giant comes, I ask for the Holy Spirit to quicken my mind and remind me. If you took to my Bible, you'd see page after page has got a date on it alongside a promise. When I hurled the promise at the giants, the earthquake situations that were occurring in my life. And I ask every morning for the Holy Spirit to guide me to what will be the right stone for me for the day, for me to do my job, for me to minister to you, for me to help you find a stone, a right stone to slay your giant. You see, this is what the chapter says. David strengthened himself in the Lord. And when we invite God into our personal dilemmas and our personal situations, we give him the opportunity to strengthen us, to showcase, if you like, his grace and his power. I'm going to carry a bag with 5 stones in it. But if you went into the book of Haggai and into chapter 1, you read about a bag with holes in it. He that earns wages puts them in a bag with holes in it. Now that's a calamity. It's like, gentlemen know what I'm on about. We get holes in our pocket. And you put all your coins in there, and you can guarantee that when you go fishing out a coin, you'll push the last one through the hole, and then they all start sprinkling at your feet. Every gentleman done it? You know what I'm on about. A bag with holes in it? Haggai has written to the Jews, 70 years they have been in exile, and they've come back. They've returned to Jerusalem. And they were determined, they were going to put God first. They were resolved, we're going to build the temple. We're going to build the house of God first before they did anything else. It didn't take 5 minutes and they forgot what they had resolved. And the vision faded and they grew slack. And when the preacher, the prophet, the pastor, the priest went to them and said, look, his name was Zerubbabel, by the way. When Zerubbabel said, look, we've got the foundations of the house of the Lord. Hang on a minute, pastor. We've got to look after our own house first. I'm building a place for my 4 children. And this was the kind of way they were going on. And then they were saying, well, we really can't be in church this next Sunday because we've got a business to run. We've got to look after our own affairs. All first, and then God can come afterward. And surprise, surprise. Trouble followed. The harvest failed. The times were very tough. And it's touch and go at times whether they would have had enough to eat. Because that's a problem. When you think, number one, and listen to me carefully, because we are living in a society that only wants to talk about number one. We are a nation that's talking about we've got to look after ourselves. And individuals tell me, I'm number one. And when you get number one syndrome, it's like putting your money in a bag with holes in it. When you start living for yourself and yourself alone, when you leave God out of the equation, and as a nation we started to do that and have done that, you're putting things in a bag with holes in it, and there's a hole in my bucket, dear Liza, there's a hole in my bucket. Then what's the next one? Tell me. Then plug it. Dear Eliza, then plug it. You see, the calamity has become a catastrophe because they've been living their life without the blessing of God. And Zerubbabel talks about the Holy Spirit and what will happen to you when you put God first. When God says, work, for I am with you. I'll fill this house with glory. That's chapter 2 and 7. And in this place, I will grant peace. And then this wonderful, glorious statement, Lord, thou madest us for yourself, and we can find no rest till we find our rest in thee. I'm quoting the Old English in that. You know, when I turn the pages of my New Testament, I get to Ephesians, and I remember there these words, he is our peace. When I put him first, I don't have a bag with holes in it. Can I tell you what I found as I was working on this? I was in Job. Now you know the story of Job. And it comes in chapter 14. Further on, things get sorted, but at this point, they don't. And he says this, my transgression is sealed up in a bag. and you seal up my iniquity. My offenses are sealed in a bag. And there's a reminder that God keeps a record. He seals up the sin of willfully impenitent men and women of this world until there's going to be a day of reckoning. And then the individual will find they had a bag of unforgiven sin. And what's the answer? Well, come back next week and the week after and the week after. Because I'll talk to you about Palm Sunday and I'll talk to you about Good Friday and I'll talk to you about Easter Day. Because I have a wonderful book. My Bible tells me how Jesus has taken the bag of unforgiven sin, the world's sin. And the wonder of Calvary is this, that forgiveness and new life are the consequence. He took the bag and nailed it to the cross. You know what? Let me read you some verses. You say, how do we know our sin is forgiven? Here's one in Isaiah. They are blotted out as a thick cloud are your transgressions. Here's another one. As far as the east is from the west. How far is that? The two will never meet. That is how far he has removed our transgressions from us. Here's a wonderful one in Isaiah 38. I have put your sins behind my back. I can't see them anymore. They're forgiven. The bag that was sealed up of unforgiven sin is wonderfully changed. And here's Micah. How he has drowned our sins in the depths of the sea. And you sing a hymn. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Here's a chorus we haven't sung for a long time. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And all the joy that filled my soul. Something happened. And now I know he touched me and made me whole. Oh, isn't it wonderful this morning that you can know that? That I have to remind you of the bag of sin sealed up. But it's in the bag. Oh, how Jesus has taken it and nailed it to the cross. One more and I'm done. A bag that will never wear out. I'm selling them 50p a dozen. Don't ask me for one because you've got it already. Provide for yourselves. It's in Luke 12 and verse 23. Jesus says, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that fails not. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. But today's message says, get yourself a bank that can't go bankrupt. The bank of heaven. It's an activity. It's something you have to do, provide for yourself. And it was the story of a man who's just built some bigger barns. Another conversation has got very personal and very intimate with the disciples. And the man in the story, if you remember, worried that he'd got too much. Here are the disciples saying, we don't have enough. And in a very special way, Jesus called them at that point, the little flock, the small group he'd got. And he said, it's what you've got in the kingdom of God. Store up for yourself treasure in a bag in heaven. Listen to me. We are at different levels. We have different skills. We have different abilities. It doesn't matter. But what we do have is the opportunity to treasure up a bag in heaven. What God has given you, the ability He will use, and God has got a special prize. You say to me, how do you know that? Because I'm reading something to you. Listen to it. Because you have been faithful in little things. There's a reward there. There's a reward there. Yeah. Treasure in a bag in heaven. It's an attitude. You say, what I mean? Jesus put it in words. Give a cup of cold water in my name. Do something for somebody else, unnoticed by anybody else, but another bit of treasure in heaven. Be kind. Yes, be kind. We're living in an unkind world. You be kind. Because Jesus was kind. Not everything goes well. Sometimes we're misrepresented. Sometimes we're hurt. Sometimes we have to put up with things silently. It's treasure in the bag. It's treasure in the bag. Our faith is tested. Our prayers seem to be unanswered. And yet you keep on keeping on. It's treasure in the bag. You deny yourself. We've been very generous. £1,000 went into Macedonia. Something like close to over 500 went in to the earthquake. And then something like 1,500 has gone to make sure that hospice is built and flourishes in Romania. That's in the last month. You know what you've done? Those of you who gave so graciously and so willingly, you put treasure in the bag. That's there in heaven, with your name on it. You see? And if you get a chance, read the story of Noah all over again. And it says, Noah found favor in the eyes of God. So Noah did according to all that God had commanded him. What's in the bag? What's in the bag? Your ladies are going home with a primrose in your bag. But as your pastor, I want you to go home knowing that you've got stones in your bag to beat your giants. I want you to have a bag that's got no holes in it. I want you to have a bag where all the wrongdoings and the mistakes and the mess-ups we've made, we know they're forgiven because of Jesus being our Savior and because of the message of the cross on Easter Day. But most of all, keep on, keeping on. Do some good things this week because you're putting treasure in your bag in heaven. And one day, when you open the bag, you think, did I do that? And be utterly amazed. There's a story of a blind man. And you can be turning to 279 while I'm talking to you. You'll find it in John chapter 9. And everybody is attacking the man. Jesus has touched him. Jesus has enabled him to see. He's never seen. He didn't know what yellow was like. He didn't know what purple was like. He didn't know what sunlight was like. He was blind from birth. There have been characters saying, oof, who sinned here? His mom or his dad? Nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that. And they want to attack Jesus. So they attack the man. And along the road, there's someone saying, now remember, he's been a blind man begging there for all his life. And someone's saying, well, he looks like the man who used to be the beggar, but now he can see. So they weren't sure. And they're getting at him, attacking him. And it ends like this. He said, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're saying. I don't know what you're looking for. But all I know is I was blind. And Jesus touched me, blessed me, helped me, spoke to me. All I know, I was blind, but now I can see. And here's a hymn. Here's a hymn. And you'll find it, it's 279. I don't know why God's wondrous grace to me has been made known, but I know that I know whom I have believed. I want to tell you something this morning. Every one of you, you can pray to Pluto, you can pray to the stars, you can do anything you like, but I know, Jesus blessed my life, Jesus changed my life, Jesus became my Savior. I know whom I have believed. And I like the blind man, you can say what you want. And everybody out there can say what they want. And you, so many of you can join me with this. I know whom I have believed. This is where my mother church taught me this. This is where my mom taught me this. This is where I learned it from the Word of God. What's in your bag? Father, thank you for a time we've spent together, for your blessing and your favor. Take us home safely. Help us to put some treasures up in the bag this week, to be kind, understanding, helpful, and keep on keeping on, no matter what. God, we ask it in Jesus' name. May the blessing of Father, Son, and Spirit be yours today and always. In Jesus, amen.